Let's pray real quick. Father, I just come before you this morning, and I ask that you would just speak to the lives of each and everyone that's here. That, Father, we don't get complacent in our walk, Father. We don't become stagnant. That, Lord, dear God, we desire to be revived. We desire the spirit of revival in our life, that we're hungry and passionate for you, Father. Lord, I come against every spirit, Lord, of just laziness, Lord, complacency, that it would be broke down, burnt out of our life by the touch of your hand, by the touch of your spirit, Father. Lord, I'm praying that this year will be a year of revival in our lives, Lord, dear God, that we're hungry for you more and more and more and more, Lord, that we're not the same church, we're not the same people that we were the year before, because Father, we got a hunger burning in our spirit, a desire to go deeper, Father. I pray for revival in this body and in this church, praise God. I bind every hindering spirit this morning, and Lord, I ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your people this morning, Father. Lord, I ask it in your precious name, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, send revival to us, that we're hungry for you. We don't get satisfied, but we want more of you, Lord. More of you. Amen. 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 So I want to talk to you this morning. Praise God. Give the Lord praise. Give him praise. I feel his presence this morning, church. I want to talk to you about the path to revival. The path to revival. And you might say, well, what is revival, Pastor? In church, you're referring to a spiritual reawakening from a place of being stagnant in your spirit, where you've lost your hunger, you lost your desire, you lost that passion that you had for Jesus when you first came, and you just kind of settled in to just kind of hiding out or going into a ritual relationship where there's no, you're just going through the motions, coming to church, but there's no more drive, there's no more passion. You're just, okay, I'm going to church, it's just another day, and that just leads to just where you're just dry in your spirit, and you need revival. And revival comes when you begin to get hungry for God. You're like, Lord, touch me, do a work in my life, touch me, torch me, burn all the things out of my life that's keeping me, Lord, from being in a stagnant place, Lord, that my life's not a place of stale water, but put some fresh water in my life. Lord, give me a hunger and a passion that I desire to go further and deeper with you than I ever have before. I'm not satisfied with yesterday's experience, but I want a new touch of your life, Lord, a new touch of your hand in my life, praise God. Revival, Lord, send it to me. Send it to my spirit, Lord. Don't get bogged down in a ritual relationship just coming to church, but get hungry for God, church. Get hungry for God, praise the Lord. See, I've heard it all my life, church. We need revival. Lord, send revival. Lord's going to send revival in the last days. And I'm not really sure about that last part, church, because if that's true, how come the world hasn't changed? How come the church hasn't changed? How come people's life and their hunger and their passion for God hasn't changed, or they've grown deeper? See, church, I think the question is that people in the church, are people in the church ready to walk the path that leads to revival?
There you go.
See, revival's not just going to fall out of the sky and just thump you on the top of the head, and you're going to have like, wow, a V8 moment, and all of a sudden you're just hungry for God. It doesn't work that way, church. If you want to be hungry and be on fire and passionate for God, where you're willing to go deeper, praise God, you're willing to take the keys of the kingdom, have vision for your life, and go down the plan and purpose that Lord has for you, church, you got to get hungry for God. You got to desire God. You got to have a passion for him, that a holy hunger in your life. If not, church, you're just going to stay in a place where you're stagnant. No fresh water flowing. Church, you got to be hungry. There's a path to revival, and you have to be willing to walk in it, church, or your Christian walk will stay the same. You'll just be going through the motions, praise the Lord. See, God never shows up, church, as a reviving fire until he shows up, church, as a refining fire, and he burns all the junk out of your life that will keep you from having passion for God. Praise the Lord. So what's the path to revival this morning? If you have your Bibles or your iPads, in 1 Kings 17, starting at verse 8, says this. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kirith, a ravine, praise God. It says, east of the Jordan. You will drink from that brook, as I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. So he did what the Lord told him. He went to the Kirith ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. And sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. And I've directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the town, the gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may drink? And she was going to get it. And he called and said, bring me, please, a piece of bread. And surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. And I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for me, myself, and my son, that we may eat and die. It's kind of a bad situation, church. And Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me, what you have, and bring it to me, and then make some for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the Lord sends rain on the land. So she went and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman, her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, keeping with the word the Lord spoke by Elijah. Praise God. See, church, earlier Elijah prophesied that there'd be no rain. And so there's a famine on the land. It's dried up, praise God. And see, church, famine's always a precursor, a start for revival. And see, there was a famine in that city. And see, church, if you look around at our city, if you look around at our country, there's a spiritual famine going on, praise God. See, we hear about great churches, but you don't see great change. We hear about great programs, church, but you don't hear about or see a great change. You don't see it. See, even people that are a part of these great churches and these great programs, they still struggle with drinking, drugs, homosexuality, church, and secret sin. We don't need great churches. What we need is great change in our lives and our thinking and our walking and the way we talk, praise God. We need a touch of God upon our lives that changes everything, praise God. We need a touch of God, church, not only in this house, but in the White House, church, that changes everybody's life, that people will get back on their knees, humble themselves, and begin to cry out that God would touch and heal our land, that there would be a move across the land of God's Spirit, that we'd get God back in our homes, back in our houses, back in our marriage, back in our government, because people are hungry for God and they're willing to get on their knees and cry out for revival for this city, for this country, and for our land, praise God. We need a move of God. We don't need great things. We just need great change in our lives, praise God. Great change. See, God tells Elijah to go to the brook. And at this brook, he provides for him water, church, for a short period of time. And then the Lord tells him to go dwell in Zarephath. And he didn't say just pass through Zarephath, but he told him to stay there. See, it didn't rain for 3.5 years, so there's a great famine going on in the land. And Ahab and Jezebel, they were ruling the kingdom of Israel at this time, worshiping false gods. And Jezebel had commanded that all the prophets in the land be killed. And so there's a spiritual and physical drought going on right now, church. And the Lord tells Elijah to go stay by this brook where the Lord would provide for him and he'd help hide him from what was going on. See, because Jezebel was from that same area that God was sending Elijah to. And see, look how God does things. God tells Elijah to go to Zarephath, Jezebel's kind of home turf, praise the Lord. The very one that was hunting him and the prophets. And see, just maybe God was wanting Elijah, church, to deal with some hidden fear issues. Because later on in the next chapter, Elijah has this showdown on the Mount Carmel with these 450 prophets of Baal. And God shows up and proves himself to be God. And so then he has these 450 prophets killed. And so Jezebel gets word of it, and she's mad. And so she sends word that I'm going to kill you. And so what's he do? He gets scared and he runs. He runs from the place he's at and he runs to another place and hides in the cave after the Lord's already hit him for 3.5 years, pretty much in her backyard. See, church, God likes to go to the root of the issues. He doesn't like to just deal with symptoms. And a lot of times we like to deal with the symptoms instead of the root. You may be here today dealing with the symptom of fear and anxiety in your life, church, and the root that God wants you to deal with is you're trusting in him. See, because when you can learn to trust in God, God's going to work things out in your life. Fear will begin to back up, praise God. The more your trust in God grows. And see, Elijah needed to remember when God hides you, no one can find you, praise God. Your friends can't find you. Your problems can't find you, praise the Lord. Your distractions can't find you. So going back, Elijah goes to this town, a Zarephath, and he meets this lady. And he's all, hey, you make me a lunch, and God's going to provide for you, church. And so revival comes to her. And see, church, Elijah could bring revival because he walked it. He lived it, church. He walked that path. It was in him, praise God. See, you can't bring revival to someone, church, unless you're living it. You're walking in it, praise God. Some of you might be trying to bring revival to someone else, and you ain't even experienced revival yourself. You got to experience revival before you can take it to somebody, praise God.
Yeah.
And see, in the course of this 3 years, this widow's only son passes away. So Elijah takes him in, he lays on him. And on the third time that he lays on top of him, revival comes back. He's revived. Life comes back to him, church. And see, Elijah could bring revival because he lived it. He was for real. He wasn't fake. He wasn't one of those fake and bake Christians, weekend warriors that come only once in a while. That's just lukewarm. He was for real, praise God. He had revival in his life. Have you ever been around some of those Christians that's not really passionate for God? They're not really hungry for the Lord, but yet when they come to church, they'll act like they are. They'll be like, well, praise God, we're going to have church this morning. Whoop, whoop, get it on. You know, it's like, really? It's like, man, the devil hung out with you after about 30 minutes, he'd want to commit suicide. You know what I mean? He's just like, you know, it's like, if that's all you're putting forward, who's going to want what you got? Praise God. You got to have some fire. Our God is a consuming fire, the Bible says. He'll put a smile on your face, a song in your heart, praise God, and a dance in your step, praise God. If you'll just learn to hunger for him and say, God, give me some passion for you, Lord. So why did revival come to this widow's house? Jesus says in Luke that there was many widows in Sidon. So why this one? And I think, church, because she was in a place of desperation and hunger, that she was willing to have faith and trust in God. When Elijah said, hey, make me something to eat, she was willing to be obedient to what he said, what God was going to do at his word, praise the Lord. And so the question this morning, church, is how bad do you want revival in your lives? Are you really desperate this morning, church, for a change in your life, that you're willing to be obedient to the voice of the Lord when he speaks to you? See, church, how hungry are you? Because your hunger will determine at what lengths you're willing to go to get food, praise God. And I don't know about you, church, but I want to be the church. I want to be the pastor. I want to be the man that revival comes to my house because I'm hungry for a move of God in my life. I don't want to be satisfied with last week or the week before or the year before because I know God's got something new every day. And I want to keep pushing and digging, praise God, because I want revival in my spirit, not just a one-time thing, but a continual thing in my life, praise God. Praise God. So what are some of the lessons, church, you can learn from the path of revival, or on that path of revival? And number one, church, what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. See, the woman needed provision. But instead of making provision for herself, she made provision for Elijah first. And out of her giving, church, it was given to her. The Bible says in Luke 6 and 38, give, and it shall be given unto you, praise God. Some of you need provision today in your life. How about trying to see if you can help someone else have provision in their life and watch what God does for you, praise God. Some of you got some dreams and things you want to see happen in your life. How about making someone else's dreams come true in their life and watch what God will do in your life, praise God. Give, praise God, and it'll be given to you, praise the Lord. Number two is provision can find you rather than you finding provision, praise the Lord. See, Elijah was obedient to the voice of the Lord when he said, go to that brook and I'll supply your needs. And he went. And so the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat at the night. He didn't have to go out and search for it. God brought it to him. Praise God. Me and my wife, we like to hike and backpack. And there's this trail called the Pacific Crest Trail. And it runs from Mexico all the way to Canada. It's like 2,600 miles. 28, somewhere right around there. And people do it all the time, all year. You know, they'll go and start it, and there's hundreds of people. And so it goes all through the Sierra Nevadas, and there's a few roads that it crosses, 80, 50, 49. And there's these people called trail angels, trail magic. And they will go out because they love people that hike, and they know they're on this journey, and they want to provide for them. So they'll go out and they'll set up these tables where the path crosses the road, and they'll put out free Gatorade sandwiches, you know, energy drinks, just whatever you need, because sometimes it's a long time between one point to the next point to refill your backpack. And so they just like really help these people. And so they'll do this stuff for them, church. And that's kind of like it is in the spirit, praise God. If you're willing to get on that path and go after God, as you're hungering and thirsting for God, God sees that you're out there going through the trails, going through the storms, going through those trials, going up and down through those spiritual mountains, praise God. And he sees that you're still hungry. You're still passionate for him. You're not giving up, praise God. He's going to provide for you, church. He's going to give you that living water. He's going to quench your thirst. He's going to satisfy your hunger, praise God. But church, you got to be willing to be obedient and follow after God. And when you're obedient and you follow after God, church, his provisions will find you. You won't have to chase them down. They'll come and overtake you, praise God. And you just got to learn to be obedient to what God wants for your life and what God wants to do in your life, and provision will come, praise the Lord. Psalms 37, David said, I was young and now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread, praise God. See, church, because when you follow after God's purpose, his plan for your life, and you're obedient to his word, church, he will provide for you. See, some of you, church, right now, might be trying to work every angle but the right angle to get provisions in your life. Every trick in the book, pulling every string, when you just need to stop and do what God asks of you, praise the Lord. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice in Samuel, church. You just need to learn to stop doing what you're doing and start doing what God wants you to do, and you'll find out provision will start chasing you down. It will hunt you down, because when you start lining up with God's word, you can't help to be blessed, praise God. So my word to you is just start trying to follow God and be obedient to what God tells you to do, church. Be obedient. Number three, if you put God in a box, you'll find yourself in a dry place. See, just because water came out of the brook for a time and season for Elijah to drink, church, doesn't mean that his provision will always flow from there. See, the Bible said the brook dried up, but not that God's power dried up.
There you go.
See, sometimes God will change how he does things, church, to keep you from getting lazy, getting comfortable, getting in a routine, keep you thinking that you know what God's going to do. And see, if you stay at a brook, church, when God moves on, you're going to be thirsty. You have to understand that God's word never changes, but the way he does things and the way he'll provide for you, church, his methods will change, praise God. See, there's a lot of people that think they probably put God in a box, that God can't move a certain way, can't bless them a certain way. You know, you got to have certain types of music. It's got to be Southern gospel. The lights have got to be a certain way. It can't be a woman minister. It's only got to be a man's minister. You know, you can only bless me on Sunday. It can't be on Saturday. We try to put God in a box of how God can bless us. In church, God don't need your permission to bless you. He can use who he wants and how he wants and when he wants to bless you and provide for you, praise God. Stop trying to put God in a box, praise the Lord. Stop trying to live off yesterday's anointing, the way God did things yesterday, yesterday's miracle, yesterday's water, praise God, because God's got a fresh drink for you each and every day of your life. But you got to stop trying to put God in a box. See, because you can go to the refrigerator, church, and you can pull out a jug of spoiled milk and you can put it back in there. I guarantee you it ain't gonna be fresh tomorrow, praise God. If you want a fresh drink, church, you got to go to the living water, praise the Lord, and keep digging. And when you find, you feel like you're getting dry in your spirit, you just got to keep digging deeper, praise God. Keep digging further. Start praying longer. Start pushing harder. Do whatever you got to take to get to the living water, praise God. But you can't put God in a box, church. He's bigger than your old box, let me tell you. Number four is you have to learn to dwell in Zarephath. See, we all want to dwell in revival. We all want to experience revival. And we all want God to show up as a God of a revival in our lives, praise the Lord. We want to see those that's been beat down by the enemy, both spiritually, physically, mentally, to experience revival, praise God. But church, you have to remember there's a pathway to revival. And you can't show up at the end of the trail, the end of the path, and hop on and expect to experience revival. There's a trail, there's a path that you have to walk to experience revival in your life. You have to dwell in Zarephath. And you might say, why is that important? Because until you know what Zarephath means, church, you'll miss the point. See, Elijah was instructed to go dwell there, not just pass through there or just a quick one-night stay, but he was directed to stay there, spend some time there, a spirit of time. And see, Zarephath means, church, a smeltering. It means refining. It's a dying place, church. And I'll tell you, the end result of longing for revival, church, it can't be found or experienced without you first learn to dwell in Zarephiah, praise the Lord. You have to learn to stay there, stay in that dry place, that painful place. that midnight place, that dying place. Church, you got to learn to stay where God has assigned you to form you and to fashion you to his plan and purpose for your life. See, too many times we want to leave church, that dying place, that refining place that God has for us. And you have to realize before God shows up as a reviving fire, he will always show up as a refining fire, church, because he wants to burn some things out of your life that will keep you from experiencing the things that he has for you, praise the Lord. See, the Bible says in Malachi, before we're made righteous, that we must meet God as a refiner's fire and fuller soap. Malachi 3 and 2 says this. It says, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. See, church, that word for fuller soap comes from the root word of the Hebrew, that it's a term that means to tread on. To walk on, church, praise God. And see, it's referring to a common use of cleaning clothes in the days where they would walk on it and they'd get rid of all the impurities, praise the Lord. See, a fuller's job was to clean clothes and make them white. And they would do this outside of town because of usually the smell of the wool, wet wool, and the soaps they were trying to clean. And they would try to make this wool pure white so it could be dyed if they wanted to dye it, different colors or whatever. Then they'd have these clothes and these big things of soap. And then the fuller would come along and he'd begin to beat and stomp out all the impurities, church, that was in it. And see, church, before revival happens, God will always show up to refine you. Refine you, praise God. Tread out all the things in your life that will keep you from experiencing revival. He will walk all over and he'll stomp out every crack, every crevice, every wrinkle, every impurity in your life if you will allow him to, church. And that's the key. Give him permission to come in and begin to stomp some things out of your life that don't need to be there, praise the Lord. You got to give him full access, church. He'll beat down all those things in your life that don't need to be there, praise God. See, the Lord will call us to die, church, before he calls us to revival. A man came up to a pastor at an altar. And he's all, Pastor, I'm just struggling with my flesh. My flesh is just kind of ruling me, and it's just beating me up. Can you pray for me? So the pastor's like, yeah. So he began to pray for him. Kill him, Lord. Just slaughter him. Just slay him, Lord. Kill him. And so the guy, he began to just really cry. He's like, oh, Pastor, I know I've been bad, but do you have to pray the Lord would kill me? He thought the Lord was really going to kill him. He didn't realize the pastor was praying that, you know, to kill that fleshly side of him that wants to keep him from the things that God has for his life, to kill those things and not the man, praise God. And he thought he was praying that the Lord would take him, praise God, take him out. Church, I've met some people I wish the Lord would take home early, praise God, let me tell you. It's like, Lord, take him home, Jesus. Do us a favor, praise God. See, church, people don't want to hear that concept, though, of dying out to the flesh. They don't want to hear it, church. We want a quick stop at the altar, church. We want a quick visit to repentance, but no one wants to dwell there. See, every Christian needs a dying place in your life, a place where you can go and you can crucify this fleshly man, the desires of the flesh, the things that want to keep you, those secret sins, those things that want to keep you from experiencing revival in your life, church. See, because there's a warfare that goes on between my spiritual man and the fleshly man. And the spiritual man wants to do the things of God, but the fleshly man wants to do the things of the flesh. And there's going to be a constant battle. That's why Paul said, I die daily, praise God. See, because this fleshly man's like Dracula. As long as you keep the cross in the heart, praise God, he's going to stay dead. But as soon as you pull the cross out of the heart, he's going to rise back up again. It's a daily battle, church, that you got to keep your flesh under subjection. And you need a place that you can go and die out to self, self-will, self-desires, all the things that takes you away from the plan, the purpose that would keep the fire of God burning in your life where you're hungry for him. The problem is there's not too many people that want to die out in the church. That's why the growth of the church is usually like this. The outreach of the church is just, it's because people, they give in to the flesh, church. The fleshly man's this tall, and our spiritual man's this tall sometimes. Because we haven't learned to go to that dying place. You got to die if you want to grow in God. See, we all want that sudden, quick, refining process in our life. We don't want to have to hang out there and go through the process. Church, and the definition of refining is to reduce to a pure state. Reduce. See, it's a process, church. It takes time. That everything that's unpure and not righteous in your life needs to be reduced and removed, praise God. John said, I must decrease, that he increases. In other words, church, less of me and more of him, till it's all of him and none of me, praise God. There's a reducing in my life where strongholds have got to come down. Walls have got to come down. Those secret sins have got to be destroyed. There's got to be a reducing in your life, church, that God can shine through, praise the Lord. And the reason most Christians won't experience revival, church, is because they're not willing to stay in the refiner's fire long enough to be refined. You have to say, Lord, turn up the heat in my life. Ask David and Joseph about dwelling in Zarephath, church. They understood the process. They understood it. From the time David was anointed to be king by Samuel the prophet, he had gone through a refining process. It took time. It didn't happen overnight. He was chased by King Saul for years of his life because he was jealous of him, because he knew he was anointed to be the next king. And so he had to be on the run. He had to live in caves and live in dry places, church. And it was some 13, 15 years later before he actually took the throne of God, or took the throne to be king. From the moment Joseph had his dream, church, until he stepped into Israel as the second in command, he had to face 13 years of pits and prisons and pain in his life. So what was happening in these men's lives, church? They were going through a process of being refined, of being reduced, that they would shine forth as pure gold, that they would be vessels of honor, that all the things in them that was impure and didn't need to be there would be worked out of their life. All the pride, all the arrogance, all the things, all the secret sins, church, would come out of their life. That the way they could be used of God, that they could experience revival in their life, church. So how do we apply this to our lives? And Acts tells us, for there to be refreshing, church, there's got to be a place of repentance in our lives. Acts 3:19 says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, praise God. See, church, there has to come a place in your life where there's a time of refreshing. But for that to happen, there needs to be a place of repenting in your life. That you examine your life and you acknowledge any sin, any secret sins, any things you got going on in your life that don't need to be there, church, so you can experience a refreshing. Stop complaining about your situation, your family, your wife, your kids, the bad situation that you're in, church, and maybe start repenting for your complaining, praise the Lord, so a time of refreshing and revival can come to your life.
Praise God.
Yeah. So you have to realize, church, you got to spend some time in the fire. Don't despise the process, the refining process. See, out of the refining, church, comes revival. Out of that refining comes a word for your life. Out of that refining, church, comes a new direction for your life.
Amen.
See, your prayer has to change from, Lord, get me out of this fire, to, Lord, turn up the heat, that all the impurities in my life will be burned out, that I can experience revival, that I can experience the touch of your hand upon my life again, praise God. Lord, turn the heat up.
Amen.
Touch me, Lord. Torch me, whatever you have to do, Lord, that I just don't waste my life, that, Lord, I walk my life in alignment with your plan and purpose, Lord, that I'll be a person of purpose.
Yes, praise God. Hallelujah.
See, church, Jesus Christ is unique. You can't stand in his presence and remain the same. You can't do it, church. You may think you're holy, all that in a bag of chips, church, but when you stand in the presence of a holy God, you'll be exposed, praise the Lord. Every mask will come off, church, and you'll be exposed for who you are. See, because in the presence of the Lord, church, his presence is revealing and it's refining, praise God. One quote said here by Robert South said, repentance has a purifying power, and in every tear is a cleansing virtue, but the potential clouds must still keep dripping. One shower will not suffice, for repentance is not a single action, church, but a course. See, church, we need to have a spirit of repentance in our life, that we have a repentive heart, a repentive spirit. That was one thing about David, church. He wasn't a perfect man, but when he messed up, he repented. He made it right. He fell on his face towards God. And see, the key there, church, is towards God. Too many people screw up and mess up, and what do they want to do? They want to run out of the church. They want to run away from God. You need to fall on your face towards God, because let me tell you something. The world's not going to help you. The world's not going to make a difference in your life. What's going to make the difference is the cross of Jesus Christ, because he's the one that shed his blood. He's the one that died for you, and he's the only one that can fix the situations in your life. So stop running from the God and run to God, praise the Lord.
Amen.
No one's perfect. We all make mistakes. None of us. Church, and you got to realize that. God loves you, and he doesn't want you to run from him, but run to him. And if you keep coming one day, church, that thing that tripped you up is not going to trip you up no more, because you're going to grow past it, praise God. But you got to keep pushing forward. Push forward. See, if you really desire, church, to experience revival in your life, then you got to be willing to dwell in that refiner's fire. You have to stay there until all the imperfections is burned out of your life, church. You have to dwell there, and you can't get in a hurry to get out. You got to be willing to stay there. If you don't, you can't expect revival to come to your life. See, the path of revival, church, it will lead you through that refining place, that dying place, praise God. But you were a place where you got to allow God to have access to every area and aspect of your life, that you give him permission to stomp, to wash, to cleanse, to clean, whatever he needs to do, church, so you can experience revival in your life. Nothing is off limits to God. You need to check your hearts, your spirit, your soul, church, and give him free access to everything in your life. Let him tread out everything, church, that's not like him. That you could be more like him, praise God. The worship team wants to come up this morning. So where are you dwelling at this morning, church? Where are you dwelling at? Are you asking for a revival, church, but you're not willing to go through the fire? Not willing to go through the fire? See, you can fast and pray all you want, church, but until you're willing to walk the path of revival, you won't experience it, church. You have to be refined. You have to die out to the fleshly man. See, the Bible says that there was a place, the altar, it was a place of dying out. It was a place where they sacrificed animals. And see, in the church, the altar, it's a dying place where we need to come and be willing, church, to slaughter our self-will, our desires, the things, all the things in our life, church, that keep us from wanting to go deeper in God. You got to be willing to say, Lord, I need change in my life. You got to be willing, church, to be reduced. You got to be willing to look at yourself, examine your life, where there's secret sin, where there's things in your life that you know don't need to be there. And you need to say, Lord, purge me. Cleanse me, Lord. Refine me. Take away, reduce those things in my life that's keeping me from your purpose and your plan for my life. Lord, let me die out. Stomp all the things out of me, Lord, that's keeping me from experiencing your living water. I'm tired of living in a pool of stagnant water, of just going through the motions of a ritual Christian walk. I need fire in my life. I need a touch of God in my life. I need things to change in my life this year. And I'm not satisfied just coming and sitting on my backside and nothing ever changing, still fighting the hurts, still fighting the habits, still fighting the hang-ups in my life. When God says, if you'll come to me and give it to me, I'll burn it out of you. I'll reduce it, praise God. I'll make you pure and holy, that when people see you, they don't see you, but they'll see the reflection of my son in your life, praise God. But you got to be willing, church, to spend some time in the fire. See, this is the last week of this month. This is the last Sunday, and then January will be gone. First month of the year, be gone. What has changed in your life, church? From last year to this month? Has anything different in your Christian walk changed? Are you more hungry now than you were a few weeks ago? Are you going to live this year the same as you did last year? Or can you hear the voice of God calling, I got greater things for you?
Come on.
I got a great plan for your life, but you got to be willing, church, to go after it, to take those keys, praise God, to dive into that pool, to get those doors open that God has for you. But Lord, it's going to take some refining in my life. It's going to take a dying place in my life. It's less of me and more of him, church. Are you going to be satisfied sitting here next week the same as you were this week, last week, or the week before? Are you going to say, God, change me? Make me hungry for you. Revive me, Lord. Send revival to my life. And if that's you this morning, church, if you're not satisfied, I'm going to invite you to meet God today at this dying place, at this refining place, because he doesn't want you to be the same. He wants your life to change. And you don't have to do it on your own. He's saying, come, and I'll walk with you.
There it is.
I'm going to have the prayer team come up this morning. And church, if you're not satisfied where you're at this morning, I want to encourage you to come up and let us pray with you that God will touch you, torch you, burn some things out of your life that you've been struggling with, because he's got greater things for you. But you can't sit there. You got to come to God. I can't do it for you. He can. God bless you this morning, church. God bless you. God bless you.